Welcome back to This Week in Missouri Politics. Thank you for sticking with us over a couple weeks off here as we take every year of the midterm elections. Now we're back with a man who's at the center of everything we're going to be talking about. Martin McCloskey, a St. Louisan, I think is now world famous, correct?
I think so. I think we've gotten letters from all 50 states, every country in Europe, Australia, New Zealand, even China and Russia. So it's been interesting for the last year.
And now running for the United States Senate.
That's true.
How's the race going?
Well, you know, we're having a lot of fun. We've been all over the place. And, you know, even before I declared that I was going to run for Senate, long before I ever thought about running for Senate, we were doing the same thing. I mean, once we got done with the Trump campaign, Patty and I just kept doing just what we had been doing with the Trump campaign, and that is making presentations around the state at Republican Lincoln Reagan days and in the rotunda of the Capitol on our constitutional rights and our God-given liberties. And it was fun from the get-go because, you know, first of all, working for the president's campaign, when we were on the Team Trump bus, we're doing 7 rallies a day. And then between the rallies, we stop at contributors' offices and supporting restaurants and things like that. So really in the heavy scheduled, you know, every second. And so when you get done doing 12 or 14 presentations a day as surrogates for the president, everything after that's just kind of relaxation.
Tell me a part of Missouri you've enjoyed getting to see as you've been around state.
Well, you know, we've been out to Jackson County 4 or 5 times now, and we always draw a big crowd there. But we were just down at Camdenton 2 days ago and drew a big crowd there and had a very enthusiastic response. Then in Marshall, Missouri the next night and very enthusiastic response there. We were up in North County Republican Club last night, and they said it's the biggest crowd they've ever had there. And so every place we go, I mean, Lewis County, they told us it was the biggest crowd they'd had at Lincoln Reagan days.
Lewis County.
At the combined Warren and Montgomery County Lincoln days, they said it was the biggest crowd they ever had there. And every place we go, I did McDonald County, which is Pineville, Missouri, is far in the south.
Ain't no easy way to get from St. Louis to Pineville.
No,
right?
There isn't. But we got a huge crowd down there. In fact, we auctioned, you know, we always donate one of my 1+2=free hats to donate it to the local party to auction off.
Got one myself.
First Amendment plus Second Amendment equals freedom. Somebody paid $1,168 for a...
In Pineville?
Pineville, yeah.
Was it Jesse James that shot the movie down there? My goodness. All right, let me ask. Everybody knows that has heard either your version or they've heard the media's version of what happened at your house, mm-hmm. right? There was a protest that came through your gate of a private area, come by your house. I can't imagine all the emotions and all the adrenaline and things that go into that situation. But one thing I've wanted to ask you since this happened, and especially when I got to meet you and got to hear you talk, and I heard that, you know, some folks want to paint you as this reactionary, racist person, over the top. I heard you give answers to questions. They were very thoughtful and very nuanced. And the question that's been on my mind is, so these folks come through by your house, and I don't care who you are. I don't care how much you think your understanding of why they're protesting, that would make anybody's adrenaline go. I don't think it's an honest thing to say that wouldn't create some uneasiness at your house mm-hmm. if you're there with your wife. But looking back, the rest of the street wasn't really bothered. Maybe that was due to you. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know the geography of your street. Mm-hmm. Looking back, is there something you'd do differently about that day?
The only thing that I wished I'd done differently that day was I wished I had enough forethought to be standing at the gate instead of on my side porch to keep them from coming in the neighborhood at all.
Now, as I've heard you tell this story, there's a part that I had not heard. It could be because I don't read enough. But there was not just that night, because it's kind of like, how do you go from that day in that situation to running for U.S. Senate? And I've heard you explain that it wasn't just what happened at your house that day. The follow-up and the fallout from that changed you.
Well, and yes, and the second assault on our house didn't fit the narrative, so the media didn't cover it. But the Tuesday after the first assault was June the 28th of last year. The next Tuesday, we got a call from an African American client of ours who was a good friend of ours. We represented her and her mom and her sisters and really considered these people part of our family. But she called up on Tuesday and spent an hour and a half on the phone with my wife saying that what we did was inexcusable and they're going to come back and kill us and burn down the house and there's nothing we could do about it. And this wasn't just an idle one-time offhand comment. She spent an hour and a half going over this and over this and over this. And so we started getting worried, you know, needless to say. We couldn't find any secondary employment local cops that wanted it because they were afraid of the bad press. We got referred to this entity down in Farmington that does worldwide high-tech security. They'd gotten bad press over the Ferguson riots, and they didn't want to do it. So I said to the guy, what the heck am I supposed to do? He says, I would just take whatever you can't live without, put it in your vehicles, and abandon the house. And I told him, there's no effing way in heck we're going to do that. Yeah. We'll go down to the ship if we have to, but we're not going to abandon our house. Well, I'd gotten a call earlier in the week from the White House. And the gentleman said the president wanted to express his support. If there's ever anything we can do for you, let us know. So I called that guy back up, and I said, now this is a pretty stinking good time.
Hope you meant it, yeah.
So, and he gave me Mark Meadows' cell phone number. And so I got a hold of Mark Meadows, and I told him the longer version of this story, and he got to work on it. Second call I made was to Tucker Carlson. And I'm sitting on the bench in the kitchen. My wife, Patty, is sitting beside me sobbing because we think we're going to die. And Tucker put us on the air and said that the local police have been ordered to stand down. The state's not going to provide any aid. The McCloskeys are hanging out here on their own. They've been threatened with death and arson, and put out a call to arms. But we still thought that it was going to be the end. I mean, our daughter, who's 31 now, was 30 at the time, was staying with us. She'd come down for Sunday night dinner from Chicago, but now has stayed through the week with us. That Thursday night, she went down to the basement, found her favorite stuffed animal from when she was a little girl, came up, gave us each a hug and a kiss, and said goodbye, expecting to never see us alive again. That's how real the situation
is. I remember this, and it's one of those things. At the time, so many things were happening, and it was around a holiday. A couple members in the union of the St. Louis City Cops called and told me the story. Mm-hmm. And they had said that there was some issues with, internal politics and things, but that people from around the country were coming. Like, veterans and other cops from other areas were actually coming to set up, and they called it a perimeter, and maybe I'm not versed in, I'm usually on the other side of police, not understand their terminologies. But they said they came out and kind of defended your house.
Well, by the time the mob hit the now heavily reinforced gate at about 7 o'clock on that Friday night, we had six ex-Navy SEALs. We had 10 secondary employment cops. We had the FBI light aircraft circling the top of the house. We had, what we used to call in the Reagan administration, peace through superior firepower. And it held the mob off. And once again, not a shot was fired. Nobody got hurt. And I can tell you this, that when before the mob hit the house, I assembled our private security forces up in the second floor of the house, and I said to them, what happens here tonight may determine the fate of the country. That if the media wakes up tomorrow morning with a whole bunch of dead bodies lying around the house, the world will change. That cannot happen. We have to do this in a way where it's peaceful, where we have a show of force, but nobody gets hurt, no shots get fired, and we do this the right way. That's exactly what happened.
The thing that's been interesting to me is I've heard folks, I got good friends in Saline County and down in Pineville. You're a very thoughtful person. And hearing this story, what would you say to an African-American who would be concerned to vote for you for Senate, would be concerned that you might not represent him because the way this story's either been told by the media or just his take on the way things happened? What would you say to that guy?
I've spent 37 years now defending the rights of others. Right now I represent a young man who is a victim of excessive force from the police. In fact, one of his brothers was a murder victim of one of the murderers that Kim Gardner's office let out of jail last week. I've represented everybody, regardless of their skin color or their national origin or their religion or any other factor, if their rights have been violated. And all human beings are capable of error. There's only been one perfect human being, and everybody else is capable of making mistakes. And if you make a mistake, if you're negligent, or in the case of a police officer, if you use excessive force and violate somebody's rights, I'm there to defend them no matter what their skin color is, no matter what their religion is, or whatever their background is. And I will do that as a United States Senator. I will represent the people of this state. I will represent their opportunity through self-reliance and hard work to make something of themselves and to not ask for favors, but to ask for an opportunity to succeed, regardless of their background.
Now, some folks, you're new to running for office.
I think 65 days now I've been a politician.
There's 2016. I think some folks felt like they might have bought a pig in a poke with a guy that they elected to be governor that was a Democrat up until he ran. There's been a narrative put out that you've been a Democrat. Now, I've looked into that. I have not found any evidence you've been a Democrat. I mean, I think it's kind of funny. You're like Donald Trump in business. I cut checks to folks, Republicans, Democrats. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump did. I'm sure you did. But I've seen the litany of folks from the Newt Gingriches, the Roy Blunts. Tell folks about your history in the Republican Party.
Yeah, the second question President Trump asked me was, hey, after we talked about 20 minutes about old house restoration and that kind of stuff, he says, hey, I understand you've donated some money to Democrats. And I said, well, yes, absolutely. If there are people that worked with me or friends that I grew up with, like, for example, the Carnahans that I worked with and knew, sure, I'd give them a little money now and then. He says, don't worry about it. I do the same thing, okay? But in the real world, I've been a very strong conservative Republican my whole adult life. Well, going back to before I was an adult. When I was in college, I was back in the Iran-Contra days. We were big supporters of Colonel North. We put on fundraisers for him at our house when he was under indictment. If you watch his video endorsement of our campaign, he'll tell you how he and I have been friends for over 30 years.
If you read history, that's when you really get to see, were you for Ronald Reagan or not during Iran-Contra? Today, it's all, everyone thinks of him lighting the Statue of Liberty, but there was a couple years there where that wasn't the easiest place to be.
Yeah, they were, you know, in the history of fake news, a new term. But, I mean, there was a couple of years when there was very serious concerns about whether or not Ronald Reagan was going to survive that issue.
Yeah.
And I was actually taking a course at the University of Maine in Orono when Ollie North was doing his congressional hearings. And I was so impressed with the way he stood up to the media and the way he stood up to Congress that I immediately joined his fan club.
I was a kid. But there was a vision I have of that. And you never know if it's something you saw later in life, but he had his green military outfit on mm-hmm. and his medals there testifying.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they were just giving it to him, and he was giving it back. It was a surreal scene.
And, I mean, he stood up and he said, and I'm just going to paraphrase this because it's been 30-plus years, but he basically said, yes, I did it. I did violate the law. I did lie to Congress, but I did so to preserve our democracy, and I'd do it again.
It's always funny, the politicians, they get Ben Ashley if you lie to them, but they can lie to you all day long. let me ask you before I let you go here. So you're a longtime Republican. Why?
Well, because I think the thing that made this the greatest nation on earth is our basic documents, that we're free to do what we feel is correct. We're free to say what we believe, to worship who we believe, to express our opinions, to peacefully protest the government for redress of grievances. And we're free to achieve what we can achieve with our own talents. We have a land of equal opportunity. Doesn't mean equal outcome. It means that if you work hard, we all pull in the same direction, everybody's life gets lifted up. We have created out of nothingness in this country a lifestyle that the world has never seen before, a level of success and wealth and just the basic uplifting of all people. The United States is unique in the world in that everybody, up until recently, almost unanimously believe that tomorrow would be better than today.
Yeah.
And better because we're all working together to make this the greatest nation on earth. Recently, and I say recently, maybe in the last couple of decades, the folks on the other side have been doing everything they can to try to drive us in different directions, to try to tear us apart and identify little tiny subgroups and try to drive wedges between us so we're not all moving forward. You know, right on the great seal of the state of Missouri, it says, "United we stand, divided we fall." And the powers of the left are doing everything they can to divide us because they'd like to see us fall and not continue to progress.
I've seen your pictures with Jim Talent, Roy Blunt, folks. Going back, last time there was a four-way primary, it was 6 years ago, 2016. Mm-hmm. Who'd you support then in that governor's race?
John Brunner before the primary. And then, you know, reluctantly, I've got to say, Eric Greitens when he was a Republican candidate because, you know, it would be too painful to vote for anybody but a Republican. But the way you phrased it originally, I kind of agreed with. And in fact, let me do it this way. My voting residence is in Franklin County. We've got property out there. And out in rural Franklin County, I started to see Greitens signs every place. I said, oh, my God, he's going to get elected, you know?
Let me ask you this. When I go to, now, you're a successful St. Louis lawyer. I'm just a simple hillbilly. But when I go to Republican events, people ask about guns and abortion. Mm-hmm. You don't really get asked that a lot on shows, probably when you do interviews. Now, I don't think anybody's going to be surprised that you're quite pro-gun.
Mm-hmm.
I think the iconic photo of you has a gun, you know, big as this table. Tell me about pro-life. Where do you stand?
I believe that life begins at conception. I think that I'm opposed to abortion under any circumstances. I think that somebody asked me this question. We were doing an event at a restaurant in Poplar Bluff a couple of months ago. And somebody says,
"What's a diner? Good food."
Yeah, absolutely. And somebody says, "Are you? You know, what are your position on abortion?" I said, "Absolutely never, under any circumstance." And they said, "What if you? So, in other words, you'd require a 13-year-old that's raped by a relative to carry that child?" I said, "Absolutely, because we have that client, raped by a family member at the age of 13, kept the child, put herself through school and college, graduated from college, got a master's degree, has a professional career, as does now the child." Okay. And so God gives us each a soul, and that soul comes to us at conception. And anything that would terminate that life is a termination of a soul that was given to us by God. And I think that's just wrong. And the hypocrisy of the left, for example, if somebody murders a pregnant woman, you see it all the time, that they've murdered the woman and her unborn child. But if that unborn child gets aborted by the woman, it's just a medical procedure. And that hypocrisy has to stop.
Mark McCloskey, thank you so much for joining. Hope you'll come back as the campaign goes on and we can visit a little more.
Oh, I hope so, too. Thank you very much.
We are back with our opinion maker panel. The Prince of South City, Steve Butts, is joining us. But first, go to showmissouri.com. This is Missouri One County Time. We were in Putnam County, had a great time. We'll learn all about the Union Soldier statue that faces right at Lewis County, in case they get any ideas. We'll be right back after this.
For more than a century, the St. Louis Carpenters Union has shaped our communities. Through trusted alliances, we deliver skilled professional craftspeople, while our business partners provide the kind of quality jobs that keep our economy humming. It's a blueprint that has worked since 1882. Turning Missouri into a right-to-work state stalls progress, wipes out jobs, and kills momentum. Right-to-work is wrong for everyone. Let's keep Missouri moving forward. Visit carpdc.org to learn more.
Your energy needs are changing. That's why at Ameren Missouri, we're not waiting on the future. We're building it with the Smart Energy Plan, advancing thousands of projects across the state, helping reduce emissions through cleaner energy sources, boost reliability with self-healing equipment, and better withstand storms with new composite poles. Moving Missouri forward and bringing us all a little closer together. That's energy at work.
Welcome back to Speaking Missouri Politics. The Prince of South City, Steve Butts. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Thanks, Scott. Appreciate being here.
Representative Marlene Terry, first time on. Welcome to This Week in Missouri Politics.
Thank you so much.
And congratulations, a very successful event. The food desert is real, and you're working to change that, right?
Very much so. We need that in North County, and it's just great.
Read the Missouri Times. You're going to see more on that. Tim Brinker, Franklin County Presiding Commissioner, correct?
Honored, yes, sir.
Welcome back to the show. And thanks, it's an all-Franklin County Republican group today. Scott Dickhouse, former legislature Republican consultant. Now, you're doing a little bit of work for Mr. McCloskey, but I have to say, this is what popped to me the first time I saw him speak. You have an impression of the guy, right? You read what folks in the media have said. You read what, see the pictures. He's a very thoughtful guy. Kind of surprises you how thoughtful he is.
No, and I think, you know, one of the things that we've seen over time is that, you know, when he speaks to audiences, audiences are surprised, they're captivated, they find out that he's got some depth.
Yep.
He's not just a celebrity name only, you know, candidate. He's actually a thoughtful guy.
Tim Brinker, folks in Franklin kind of get a little bit of Republican primary voting, don't they?
They do. They certainly do.
You got, I guess, your constituent. I didn't know that until I interviewed you today. But you've got three other folks running. I know that Eric Greitens, however you want to look at it, there's a base of support in that party for him. Vicky Hartzler's got, you know, western part of the state. Eric Schmidt has done extremely well garnering support. And McCloskey, where do you think that race is?
Well, in Franklin County, I can tell you it's going to be a real hot red race.
Yeah.
And where it is now, I couldn't put my thumb on it to be precise. But, you know, McCloskey's going to garner a lot of votes out of Franklin, especially as a result of the practicality. Now, the Attorney General is going to do the same thing, though. So it's going to be a real interesting race. You know, Eric Greitens is going to pull his, and those other folks are going to pull theirs, and it's going to be real fascinating to see who pulls through.
I was impressed. This was the same guy I saw speak in Poplar Bluff. There's a depth. The depth was probably a better word
right.
to the guy that I, you know, I got to say, it kind of took me by surprise. Scott Dickhouse, though, I watched it Lincoln Days. I've watched at these events. Folks come up. They want to. It's bizarre. They want a selfie with him.
Everyone wants to take a picture.
As a guy that does campaigns for a living, what percent of those folks that want a selfie with the guy vote for him?
You know, it's tough to say, but I think that, you know, any time that you're drawn to someone or you're interested in someone, you're investing your time, even if it's 30 seconds just to take a selfie, that's an engagement. And that's the whole goal of campaigns, is to engage voters.
I've seen things like that before. Folks like me with pictures of folks. I've not really seen it to that degree. I mean, there's a line of people on a selfie.
No,
Polk County, the most, they see all these guys.
So, my business partner was kind of the first one to see it. You know, Mark McCloskey was a featured speaker at a Lincoln Days. They kind of went in not knowing what to expect. He was with one of our other clients, one of our other candidates, and they got there and they were both blown away. And they said it was just, you know, after he spoke, just people coming up, asking to take pictures, enthused, engaged, asking what they could do. And that was before he had announced.
Did you see when Rowden didn't show up 1 week for This Week in Missouri Politics, I got Ratliff. All right, let me, Steve Butts, there's a name out there. I mean, Scott Sifton, somebody I know, probably the most effective Democrat state senator of the last 10 years. There's some other folks, Lucas Koontz, raised some money. But there's a name that keeps coming back to me, and it's almost unfair to these other folks trying to get traction, but he's going to Clay County, the man who's got more people have walked into a booth and checked Jay Nixon than anybody, Thomas Hart Benton, Kit Bond, Symington's. Jay Nixon's got more votes than anyone. He's running. He's seriously thinking about running for this race, right?
I hope so. So I'm a big Scott Sifton fan.
Yep.
I'm on that bandwagon early, but I think a great candidate for our party would be Jay Nixon. Jay's proven he can win statewide, and he has that ability to bridge the rural-urban-suburban divide, and that's huge. So,
Terry, Jay Nixon gets in this race. Can he go to your district? Can he go to North City, to North County? And can he get Democrats on board, not just in the primary? Can he get them to turn out like they would for another candidate in the general?
I believe so, because he has a name in the community. So I believe that that would work. But, you know, we're all just hoping and praying that it's a Democrat.
I mean, look, Jay Nixon could go to Franklin County and get folks who that 10% that may vote Republican or Democrat, he can get 8 of that 10, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's some practicality there, but I wouldn't go much further than that, quite frankly.
But well, you had that up around the state.
No, I think Jay Nixon, I was in the legislature when he was governor. I think Jay Nixon is the only hope that the Democrats have, and I think that that door is only open if Eric Greitens wins the Republican primary.
Sure. Yeah.
I think Jay Nixon could beat Eric Greitens.
I do too.
See, Buds, there's a bit of a court case that was announced this week. Some folks on your side of the aisle have predicted this, how this would go, but Medicaid expansion approved by the voters. The legislature didn't fund it. Went to the Supreme Court, and really, you know, people think it's just a bunch of Democrats, but you had the House Republicans' own lawyer on the side. There's some Republicans support Medicaid expansion, and they won.
It's not just Democrats, clearly. I mean, it's the business community. It's the rural hospitals. It was the will of the people. You know, a little bit of that Catholic in me, the salus populi. You know, you learn a little Latin back in school. And I know we say it's the welfare of the people, but it's the health of the people. And it directly applies in this case. This is good policy. It's good health policy. It's good humanitarian. It's good economic policy. I believe this is going to be a big win.
To Brigger, there'll be some folks that can go to the hospital in Franklin County now that wouldn't have been able to. But I've heard Republicans right off the bat, Senator Hageman, one of the more gentlemanly, subtle folks, started talking about we liked the elected judge's decision, we didn't like the appointed judge's decision.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the case. But it is true. You know, more people will be able to get care in the hospitals. Our single hospital in Franklin, Mercy, and we got a bordering one of BJC and Sullivan. But that's fact. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all pans out in the big frying pan we're in.
Scott Dickhouse, you've been in that caucus room. When a court ruling goes against the legislature full of Republicans, you know, I think a lot of folks kind of thought this would be the outcome ultimately of it. What do they do now? Do they just go back and fund it? What happens?
So I think there's some interesting conversations that have already started. I think, you know, certainly you've got people talking about court reform.
Sure.
That's going to happen. I think one of the interesting things in looking at the decision itself was essentially now we've opened the door for interest groups to put issues on the ballot without a funding mechanism to expand programs that already exist. So if it were a new program, it wouldn't have ruled that. They wouldn't have ruled that way. But for a program that already exists, we can expand that without a funding mechanism. And I think that that's dangerous. I do think that that is an opportunity that the legislature should take to put a check on the courts. I think checks and balances, we've got to check the courts.
So you say maybe you don't throw out the Missouri court plan. Maybe you check what that once those judges are in office, what they can do.
I think we're going to have to look at the possibility of putting something on the ballot that says, listen, if you're going to come forward with a new program or an expansion or whatever, how are you going to pay for it? Instead of putting that on the backs of the legislators.
Representative, you are one of the more common sense folks I've seen come to the legislature in a long time. Medicaid makes sense for your district.
It does.
The voters of the state thought it made sense for the state to expand it. But there is something, too, if you're going to propose spending government money, say where you're going to get it, right? I mean, that's not an unfair, radical concept.
It was there, you know, it was in our budget. And the opportunity, they did not take.
And they have the money.
And they had the money.
They'll say they have the money.
You know, it was just dumbfounded to me how it went over. But you see who spoke, who had the last word.
Indeed. I get the sense, though, this is almost a one-off. It's not the best way to go for a court reform thing on something that the public voted for. That's not your, you know, you get your good pitches to swing at. That's not an ideal pitch for them to swing at. I get the sense the court took no joy in this, but they thought, let's just get this over with and move on. And I wonder if that's how, at this point, the Republicans would say, okay, we're just going to do this and move on now.
Well, maybe I just have a higher view of the court. But when a decision comes down 7-0, unanimously, quickly, I think, you know, you have not just the will of the people, you have the ruling of law. That's the way we settle things.
Let's talk about, so you mentioned law, Tim Brinker. There's an issue that has really popped up at the forefront, and it's Franklin County is now in the St. Louis region. I think in every way, you've been a lot to step up and put Franklin County at those tables. Crime has become a big deal, and you're even seeing some folks that have supported Kim Gardner, some of the reforms she's tried to make, are now stepping back because some of the incidents that have happened, like the murder case that was dismissed for no one showing up. Those problems are beginning to come, and you're not hearing anybody defending it anymore.
Well, that's fact, and it's really a sad display in the fact that people just don't understand how we are impacted so drastically by the lack of the prosecutorial system here in the city and county of St. Louis. We have two separate entities that probably need to be combined into one legislatively, and that way we can have one speaking for all and one prosecuting for all in that St. Louis region.
Together. Steve Butts, just one side of knowledge prediction. Is there going to be a legislative reaction to the status of the circuit attorney's office?
There will be a legislative reaction. I don't think it will go anywhere. Elections have consequences. Kim Gardner was elected, reelected overwhelmingly. That office is in chaos. It's important, and I wish her nothing but the best, but we're getting late in the ball game, and you have to manage that office and prosecute these cases.
You're getting late in the ballgame with a minute left to win the week?
I'm going to say the Missouri Supreme Court, our system, 7-0. I like the three branches of government. It worked exactly as I think it should.
1 week.
I say the citizens of Missouri with the Medicare expansion. They have spoken.
Scott Diggins, 1 week.
Chuck Hatfield, Lowell Pearson, sure. The attorneys that represented the Medicaid interest. I don't always agree with where Chuck Hatfield is, but he wins.
That's right. We won the week.
The Washington Area Chamber of Commerce, Jennifer Giesick, the president, and Amanda Griesheimer, her assistant, everybody out there getting the Washington Town and Country Fair set up for that first week of August. ZZ Top, 38 Special.
Your riverfront just keeps improving in Washington. It is so much fun. Now, 2 Amtrak's a day, right?
Freedom-loving Franklin. Come on out.
I am going to say Robert Nodell, a longtime person, served the governor's office, went in, stepped into a very tough situation in the Department of Health. You can get your vaccine anytime you want, anywhere in this state. And Robert Odell's the one that helped you get there. Hope you'll come back with us next time, same place, for This Week in Missouri Politics.
This Week in Missouri Politics, sponsored by the Missouri Association of Career Fire Protection Districts, SPIRE, and Sterling Bank.